All right. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it.
Oh, look at that. I love him. He's so awesome. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I just want to thank the Lord again for being so good to me. And for those of you that know, I just not long ago I had back surgery, and I had to be 6 weeks without doing anything. That was hard. But everybody step in, amen, and help me and bless me and bless my husband. I want to thank my husband. He was awesome. Glory to God. The house and everything. So honor to whom honor is due. And my daughter, Layla, was so awesome. I couldn't do it without her. She stayed with me, kept me straight. And thank you so much. And again, all the love that you demonstrated by bringing me food and all that, because it was 6 weeks of nothing, you know, so that was hard. And through all that, I learned a lot, and I spent time with the Lord. And guess what? He spoke, amen, to my heart and lined me up and brought a lot of good stuff. And so I receive it, a little bit of pow-pow from the Lord. And so I'll just pass it to you. Because I'm not the only one that's going to get beat up here. No. So I praise the Lord. I'm being tempted. So guess what? I'm wearing heels. Yay! When I went to see the surgeon this last week, she put the x-rays of my back, and she said, "You see this? It's amazing." She was so overwhelmed by how good my spine and everything looked. And God is so good. Not all those, they say all kinds of ugly things that could have happened to me, but praise to the Lord, it didn't. Amen? And so even though I waited for a year to do that, and I did everything, stood, spoke the word, He is still my healer. Amen? So I had to have surgery, okay? Sometimes the Lord has to humble us. But God, to God be the glory. I am healed. Amen? And no pain. You never know how good it is not to have pain, right? Until you don't have it anymore. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to share with you something that the Lord put in my heart that I learned and I know is going to bless you. But before I do that, I want to go to a scripture in 2 Timothy, if we can show it up. 2 Timothy 3:16. And I want us to read it out loud. I just feel like the Lord wants, you know, this to be in it. You got your Bible, 3:16. Ready? All right, let's read it out loud. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's finish with 17. That the man of God, or the woman, may be what? Complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. You see what it say? All scripture. Old Testament, New Testament. Amen? All scripture. Right? Is inspired by God to do all that in us, if we allow the Spirit to do it, right? Amen. Glory to God. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your people. And Father, I pray that all of us will have ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And Lord, we received this morning revelation from your word through the Spirit of God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. First King, let's all go to First King chapter 19. Glory to God. And we're going to be there for a little bit because God is going to speak to us through that. I had a time with the scripture. I really enjoyed myself. I even shared with someone with Amanda. We had a good time, didn't we? So I thought it was just for Amanda and me, but no. The Lord just put it back again because it's for all of us. Amen. So I know you're going to be blessed and you're going to receive it. So this is the situation. We were talking about Elijah, the prophet of God. Before that, and I'm not going to go into details. I want you to read in chapter 18. It's talking about the prophet Elijah, where he came before Baal, the prophet of Baal, which is the enemy. It's like saying between Satan and God right over there. And so he went to Mount Carmel and he put a head in front of them, a challenge. And he said to them, the God they answer by fire, that's the true God. The God that will answer by fire, that's the one we're going to follow. And so the prophet of Baal were there, and so they say, all right, come on, let's do it. I want you to know that there were 450 prophets of Baal there. And then it say there would be 400 that ate at the table of Jezebel. Just picture that. And there's Elijah. So the story goes that they do the sacrifice and they start praying to Baal, and Baal is not answering, and they throw themselves before and they mourn and groan from the morning to noon, and then they start cutting themselves. How many of you know that if somebody does something like that, they really believe, don't you think? For you're not going to cut yourself and do all that if you don't. And so Elijah is watching them, and of course, their God didn't show up. No fire. And then after that, we know that, and I'm going real fast with the story, but you need to read it because it's awesome. Elijah gets a little prideful and start making mocking them and making fun. And then he said, put water. It's my turn. Kill the bull and all that. And boom, fire came from heaven and consumed everything. Isn't that great? Yay, victory. How you think Elijah was feeling? Right? In fact, every single one of those prophets were killed. By the sword, some of them. And the people say, he is the true living God. So with that experience, a lot of time we go to experience like that, maybe not fire from heaven, but a lot of us is being in situation where we know it's the hand of God. Right? We see that it's God healing us, restoring us, bringing the finances, you name it. It's God. You know that you go, wow, how did this happen? Only God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so right after that, Elijah, after that experience, Jezebel, which was the one that was in charge. How many of you have heard like Jezebel, right? Oh, that's a Jezebel. I hope you don't call anybody that. That is not, you know, something to play with. It's a spirit that influences people to this day. So let's go to 19:1 and see what happened after this victory. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Ahab is the king and is the husband of Jezebel. also how he had executed all the prophet with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and said, I don't care. My God is the God they answer with fire. You think you're going to kill me? Guess what? My God has delivered 450 prophets. Do you forget? Did he say that? I'm just putting here. How many times the Lord comes and heals and restores you and touches you, but the enemy comes and just threatens you because it speaks in your mind those things to make you feel like you're in danger, that things are not going to work out, that that relationship is lost, that the finances will not be there, that you're going to die. Fill the blank. All right, but that's not what it said, right? And when he saw that, he arose and ran to his for his life and went to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. I mean, he ran. He left his servant and ran scared. Oh, we don't need to be too hard on Elijah. We do the same most of the time. Bad news come in, something don't work out, and immediately we allow fear. Fear, let me tell you, is not a good thing. Anxiety, can you relate? Depression, this is a picture of it. But he himself went a day journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. Well, how many of you know that that's not true? If he wanted to die, he would have stayed right where he were, don't you think? But yet he's speaking death, isn't it? We don't want to die. The things that come out of our mouth. The Bible says that life and death is in the tongue. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So when you speak negative and you speak curses, you're listening to that. And that's doing a work on you. Oh, he prayed that he may die and say, it is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Oh, wow. Wow. What you think Elijah is? Not only he's scared, he is what? Angry. Disappointed. You ever be angry at God? Disappointed. You know, sometimes we pray to the Lord and we tell God how to do things, forgetting that he is God. We don't tell God how to do things and how to answer my prayer. I trust him enough. I bring the prayer and then I say, Lord, I leave it in your hands and I release it. We don't do that, don't we? And when the Lord doesn't answer the way we thought, we get mad, just like Elijah got mad. We get disappointed. We run away. We get depressed. We allow anxiety to rule us. Amen? Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by the head was a cake baked on coals in a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and say, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in a stress in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. So even though the Lord knows where Elijah is, and even though he knows Elijah's upset, and even though he knows he's still providing what? Food, bread, water. Not one time, two time. He sent an angel. You see, we got angels all around us. He is the provider. He is blessing us. He is blessing you and me, even if you're going through a hard time. Though do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's still there. And he's still providing. When we're grateful for the things that we have, make the things we have more than enough. Amen? More than enough. When we're grateful, when we recognize, oh, thank you, Lord, for the roof over my head. Why do we allow the things emotionally or even physically overwhelm us to the point that we lose sight of who God is and who we are? So he continued. Let's see what happened here. He ate the food. He drank the water. He keep on running. And there he went into a cave. Oh, it gets worse. And spend the night in the place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Do you think God didn't know? What was God asking him? You know, God asked, what are you doing here, Asia? Because sometime we have to come to our sense to see where we are, not where people is, where we are. How did I get here, Lord? Why is my spirit so in turmoil, Lord? I have no peace. God is asking again, what are you doing here? And so Elijah could answer and say, because I'm scared, to be honest, right? Yes, Lord, you're right. I don't need to be here. No, let's see what he answers, right? So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God. I just want to remind you, God, all the things I have done for you. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left. And they seek to take my life. What's wrong with that answer? I, me. And so we tend, when we're going through some hard times and we're upset with God, let's be honest, all of a sudden we start judging God and his people. I'm the only one doing all this. Lord, I have been going to church. I've been paying your tithes. I've been giving here. I've been giving that. And look, is this what's happening? My marriage is not good. My kids are rebellious. God, hello, it's me. So I'm depressed. And I'm upset. And I'm running away. Who is Elijah running away from? Someone to kill him or from himself? Now God in his infinite grace answered to him. And then he say, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now here God present an awesome presentation. He is the God. Can you see? Go out. Look. How can you stand and see the moon and the stars and the clouds and the trees and not know that God is? Get out of where you are. And it's not in all those magnificent things. He speaks to you and me in that what? Still, small voice. That's our Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then that still voice is speaking to you, to guide you, to lead you, to comfort you, to show you, to get you out of your cave, to get you out. Though do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he is with me. And when I'm confused and when I start getting depressed, that still voice comforts me. He comforts me. He shows me. I have a choice to either listen to that voice or just stay mad at God. Keep on judging the people. Look what, God, look what they're doing. I alone, I'm the only one left. Doesn't the enemy likes to make us feel like that? And then it comes back, and I think this is very sad. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here?" Again. Now he's coming out of the cave. He's coming out of that depression. He's wrapping up himself. He's standing in the cave, and then he hears the Lord asking him, "What are you doing here?" I think the good answer should have been, "I'm being in the cave. I've been depressed. I've been scared. And you know, Lord, I've been mad." Because he's a big God. He can hear us. "I've been mad, Lord. I've been disappointed. But guess what? I'm coming out, Lord. I'm coming out of this. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. You've been so good. You've been providing. You've been giving me food. You've been giving me water. You're speaking to me. That still voice is there. Yes, Lord. It's not in the big thing. It's in the little thing. And I'm coming out of this because you are faithful. Because I have seen your hand. Because you never leave me or forsake me. Because great is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because you're my savior. Because you're my healer. Because you give me sound mind. Because I serve a mighty God. And I don't tell God what to do. But I trust you. Because the word of the Lord says, trust in the Lord with all your might. And lean not into your own understanding in all your ways." Everybody say, all. Acknowledge him and what he's going to do. Lead you. How to be led by the Lord. Get me out of this cave, Lord. And so, again, God asked him, "What are you doing here?" And he answered, and I think this is very sad. I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophet with the sword. And I alone are left, and they seek to take my life. Did he change? No, unfortunately. Oh, God, help us that we never get to that place. When God is speaking to us, that we don't harden our hearts, and that we're that mindset, that entitled man with God, that we think he owes us something. Oh God, that the fear of the Lord will return to the body of Christ. Yes, he loves us. Oh, look how much he was trying to reach out, but he couldn't see it. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel, Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. I think God retired Elijah. Do you see that? Jehu, the king of Israel, you go and anoint Jehu. Do this thing, Elijah. Obviously, your mindset, I can't use you anymore. And that's sad. I can't use you, Elijah. You retire. Go and anoint someone that is going to take your place. I think that's very sad. And Jehu is the king that killed Jezebel. Don't you know God already have ordered all those things? If Elijah would have given God a chance instead of running, maybe at that point, God would have said, yes, go and do, anoint Jehu. He's going to do it. He's going to kill Jezebel. You don't have nothing to fear. Why do we get so intimidated by the work of the enemy? And so the Bible talks about this. He goes and do all that. And then this is important. 18. And by the way, don't you like that? Look at 18. God is telling him, and by the way, Elijah, yet, right? I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. It's not only what? You. By the way, now look how God ministered. First, he gave him water. He gave him food. He goes two times. He showed him his glory. He reminds him in that still voice that I'm talking to you. Come out of yourself. And that didn't change him. Where he could have started arguing from the beginning, when he said, I alone, he would have said, no, right? Sometimes we're too fast. Why didn't God tell him, hey, you're wrong. It's not only you. I got what, 7,000? No. At the end, he goes, by the way. What am I trying to say? What is the Lord speaking to us? It might be a strong threat. Oh, by the way, Elijah didn't lose his relationship with God. In fact, God took him. Amen? But what a waste, right? The love of God in you, you still will go with the Lord. When we miss God, right? Elijah still went in that wonderful sight, right? God took him. After giving him pow-pow, took him. Retire him, demoted him a little bit, but then what? Took him. So what am I saying? God love you, whether you do or not, whether you go into you, but there's a way out, is what I'm trying to say. And God wants the best. And when the enemy comes like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard and help you out. Don't give up. Know who you serve. I know my God. I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Amen? So what is your storm? What are you going through today that you need breakthrough? Isn't God big enough to get you out of that cave? Isn't God enough to speak in that soft, still voice and say, I got you? Do you trust him? Or is it all about you? We're a little bit selfish, don't we? Yeah, I think we are. But let's know that he loves us so much. And he brings this word, and he brings that word, and he brings this one to minister to you. And then we go, no, 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 no. So again, fight the good fight. Your enemy is Satan and the demon. It's not God. Amen? God loves you. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in good health. He wants you to be happy. Yes. It's the enemy that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So how are you going to do it? I spent a year with pain, but I remember at 2 o'clock in the morning when I couldn't sleep because sleep was horrible, laying down in bed was horrible, sitting down was horrible, walking was okay. So I will pace myself, and I chose to speak scriptures out loud about healing. That's what I did. The pain was still there. But I refused to give in to the enemy. I refused to be speaking wrong. I refused to be mad at God thinking that he was not answering my prayer. I refused to accept that God was not on my side. And guess what? In due time, God worked all things for my good. And here I am, preaching with my heels. Excited. Amen? I won't ask you to do anything I haven't walked. Is it easy? No. Was I just confessing the word of God? Like, no, I was crying, okay? Frustrated. Yes. Was the days that sometimes I was a little bit confused? I don't hear it. God, I'm looking for that still voice. I don't hear it, Lord. And after a year, I say, okay, I'm going to get the surgery. And after trying everything, but I never stop believing the healing is from the Lord. So that was my battle. Which one is your battle? What is your battle? That the enemy Is it mental? Is it emotional? Whatever it is, there's breakthrough. Amen? Everybody say there is breakthrough. Let's all stand. I want to pray. Musician, if you may come, please. We're going to worship the Lord, but I want to pray. And if that's you, that you feel like it's okay. I've been in the cave too, right? Just like Elijah. It's okay. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to be confused. What is not okay is to stay there. Get out of the cave. Amen? It's okay to, you know, feel sometime that everybody is doing great but you. That God is answering prayer for everybody. But you know, that all that. And guess what? The Lord already knows it. It's okay.